You know, I get very excited to be able to be together with you all. It is great to be here, but I also want to recognize those who are also with us virtually, and I don't want to get into the habit of just addressing everybody here. We're trying to get this message out to all of those of us here to try to challenge ourselves to take this message to our own lives, to our neighborhoods, but we also want to take it to those who are tuned in on our live stream through Facebook, through YouTube, and also through our website. But I want to say that it looks like our numbers are starting to come more and more back. And so, again, we want everyone to feel comfortable, but at the same time, we do appreciate those who are able to be here. And I want you to know something I'm encouraged, and maybe those of you who are live streaming, if you will check in and let us know that you're watching, that will help us also have a record of attendance as well. But I want you to know, those who are live streaming, that you may not be able to see, every week we've had visitors come. And that tells me that, first of all, that's exciting. But it tells me that I believe that people are really, really wanting to get back to some normal, to get back to some reality. And again, will it ever be normal again? I have no idea. I have no idea. We had no idea that this year would be this way. And we have no idea what will happen in the end. But one constant I do know is the church will always exist. The church will always exist, and nothing will prevail against it. And I am not obligated is the wrong word. We must be compelled. We must be compelled, convicted, to be a part of God's forever family, no matter what. Whether we have to be in person, whether we have to be virtual, whether we have to be underground, whatever it may be, we will always serve our God and always have a compulsion to be able to do that. So today I'm talking about pressing on. You know, our theme this year is focus, and our focus is on that thing, so it kind of looks like we lost our focus. Get it? Ha ha. But we have it. Our focus is still, we are dedicated to doing what God wants to. Remember that everybody started out this year with Vision 2020 or Focus 2020 because of the play on the eyesight. And so everything got just turned upside down. But we still want to focus. But when it comes down to it, and by the way, I already missed my point, but I do want to say that Arlo is here for the very first time, and I normally we bring him again, and it's all out of whack here, but he's precious, he's asleep, and so y'all congratulate Natalie and Alex and Asher on their new addition. But getting back to our thoughts here, when it comes down to what you want to preach, it's a whole different ball game today. You know, when you think, okay, our theme is focused, and I've got some ideas I want to go with that. Justin and I had even planned out a family thing about focus on our families, and I mean, you just, all that gets turned upside down, right? And so coming up with sermon titles are a little bit different these days, or sermons in themselves. And so what kept coming back to me this week was, we've got to press on. We've got to press through. You know, somebody's put a wall up. The world's put a wall up. The devil's put a wall up. And, you know, we've got to press through that wall. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Wherever we are, whether we are virtual in our living rooms, whether we are physically in these pews, wherever we are, I'm calling us as the Azalea City Church of Christ to press on. We must press on. Paul was in prison, but he pressed on. And that's where we are today, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Some of my most favorite words in all the Bible, and Paul's saying them from a prison cell, not knowing which day they're going to cut his head off or not. He said, hey, here's what we got to do. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may what? Lay hold for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the upward call for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said to the church at Philippi from a prison cell, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to get down. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. I'm not going to quit. I will remain focused on the prize, on the task at hand, and I will press on towards heaven. He says in that same letter to the church at Philippi, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I was hard pressed. You know, if I die, if they kill me, I'm going on, but I know you guys need me here. He said, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to live no matter what for Jesus Christ. And when they cut my head off, when they sever my head from my body and they end my life, I'm gaining heaven. That's the mindset we as Christians must have. We can't allow different things of the world to cripple us. Remember, we launched into the deep way back on March the 15th. We launched into the deep. And we let down our nets. And now we got to expect that spectacular to happen. And that's where we are. So today, in our time that we have, I want to give us three things as I just stained the carpet, elders, because I knocked my portable cup over. Anyhow, sorry about that. I'm going to press on, though. See, that was all part of the whole gimmick there. Oh, boy. Y'all already got me challenged with 20 minutes. Y'all know that, right? So, as we go press on and we realize, hey, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. There are three things that Paul says in this passage that are as applicable today as they've ever been, even in Paul's day when he penned these words. Here they are. Number one, you want to press on? Well, we got to do. We got to aim for the things above. Listen to this. Verse 12 again. You're going to hear that verse about three or four more times. Paul said, not that I have already attained. Okay? He didn't say, I've arrived yet. He said, I haven't gotten where I'm not satisfied with where I need to be. He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Why? That has to be the question right there, right? Why? You're in a prison cell, Paul. You baptized a lot of people. You led a lot of people to Christ. You've been on missionary journeys. You started a lot of churches. You've been in a lot of great places. You've done a lot of great things. Man, just sit back and relax. He said, uh-uh. He said, I'm not going to sit back and relax. Even though I'm in prison, I'm not going to quit. Why? Why did he not that? Because here's the answer. Number one, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid for me. In Terry's terms, to stick with my alliteration there, he said, I'm going to aim for the things above. I'm going to lay hold of those things and I'm not going to let go. You see, why? Because Christ Jesus laid hold of me. He thought me worthy enough that he went to Ananias and he said, hey, Ananias, there's a man coming by the name of Saul. Oh, that Saul that's persecuting the church, that's killing Christians? Yes, that Saul. Well, what do you want me to do with him? I want you to baptize him. What? What do you want? Why, Jesus? Because he's a, get this, chosen vessel of mine. He picked him. He picked you. He picked you. He picked y'all. He picked me. Jesus Christ laid hold of you. Now, why are we going to stop trying to press on and lay hold of him? We cannot do that, church. We cannot let that happen. You know, we need to have the attitude of that top shelf mentality. What goes on the top shelf, especially when you have little ones? The valuable things, right? The things you don't want them to get. You don't want your children or your grandchildren or whoever it may be or your neighbor's kids to reach up and grab something of value and break it. So we put our valuable things on that top shelf, right? It's the ones that they mean the most to us in those cabinets. You and I need to know that Christianity, that heaven, it's on our top shelf. And we are babes, we are children, we are His children, and we're reaching up. We haven't gotten them yet, but we got to keep reaching towards them. Jeff read to us from Colossians 3, 1 and 2, and I want to read a little bit more. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3, that's where I'm going to be. Verse 1, beginning there. If then you were raised with Christ, that's us, right? Once I was immersed, and I'm pointing not to Steve, but to this wall, because there's water behind this wall in our baptistry. When I was buried in that water, and God, not Terry, not any other person that baptized you, or any other human being, but God Himself, Jesus Christ, right? They took, miraculously, if you will, our water and contacted us with Jesus Christ's blood. It's the blood, not the water, but it's God who does it. Once I went down and I buried my old self, my old sinful self, God contacted me with Jesus Christ's blood. Guess what? If then you were raised with Christ, that's us when we came up out of the water, right? What do we need to do, Paul? Seek those things which are on the top shelf, which are above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Not if I quit. He's not talking about the quitters. He's talking about those who keep reaching, who keep aiming for the things above. Verse 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Verse 8 now. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Paul said it to the church at Philippi, but he said it to the church at Colossae. We got to have that top shelf mentality. We got to keep aiming. We got to keep reaching. If I was buried with Christ and I've raised with Christ, then I am going to be setting my mind, my heart, my all on things out of this world. But so much focus right now is on this world. It's on where we are. And listen, I'm not saying it's not right. It's a virus that's taken people's lives. Some of those dear ones of our own number. But I want our mindset not to get so wrapped up in the temporal that we miss the eternal. You see, not only is there a virus out there, but there's hatred out there. There's evil out there. And if I turn on Justin and I believe we said it in, our minds run together. We've talked a lot over the last few months together. But in one of the lessons, if there are times when Twitter, I just read all the back and forth of all the people that I followed, and it may be from a sports or from a college, or it may be from media, whatever. There may be, and man, I'll get all these different views and people not liking this and not liking that, and it's all these earthly things and it's all entwined. And I have to say, enough of that. All that's temporal. Get your mind where it needs to be, Terry. Get your mind on heaven. Maybe we all need to do that. Maybe we all need to have a fast from some of our media, from some of our social media. Maybe we all need to just say, hey, I'm going to get in the book today because I'm going to aim for things above. See, if I really want to press on, then I got to get garbage out and I got to get God in. I love this proverb. Proverbs 24:16, probably an underrated proverb in my opinion. The very first part of that says, for a righteous man may fall seven times. You know, that's us, right? We're righteous people, but we're imperfect people. I struggle. I fall. I slip. I get my knees busted. I get my spirit busted. I get my heart busted. I get all these things busted. But guess what? That's not how that verse ends. He says, so a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. That's aiming for things above. Yeah, the devil may temporarily get the wind out of your sails, but we'll get that wind back. And we'll get afloat. And we'll press on. Number two. This is a big one. We got to kill sin before it kills us. Paul, Philippians 3, verse 12. I told you're going to hear this verse a lot today. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Here's the question again. Why? Number two. He goes on to say, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, I have a past where I was a sinner. In fact, you remember to Timothy and others, he said, hey, I am chief of sinners. I don't know. There's been a lot of debate over his thorn in the flesh and everything else. I can't sit here and tell you what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but what this preacher believes it was the guilt that he felt for killing young men like Stephen. That bothered him because he constantly brought up that he struggled with that. But that's when Jesus went to work on him. Remember, right after that death of Stephen, he went and he was on the road to Damascus to go and hurt more Christians. But it bothered Paul. I believe that guilt bothered him. And even though he knew he'd been washed away, he still at times felt like, because of that guilt, I am the chief of sinners. He said, if I'm going to press on though, I can't let that guilt kill me. I can't let that sin kill me. He said, I've got to kill it and I've got to press on. And guess what? In this room, there are sinners. On this stage, there are sinners. We've got to kill that sin. Thankfully, it was buried, right? And now we walk in newness of life. But guess what? The devil doesn't quit. Wouldn't it be great if once we came up out of the water, he's like, okay, I lost him. Man, that'd be so great. But that'd be heaven. You see, we're on earth where he's still the prince of this world. And so guess what? He's going to keep coming and he's going to keep throwing sin out there. Sin is the ultimate setback of us being able to press on. You know what we got to do? If we're going to get rid of sin, that's not enough. Maybe today you say, hey, I'm going to get rid of sin. When Madeline was a little girl, a little baby, she's still a little girl, but a baby, she had one of these bottles that it was orange and one was white for baby dolls. And it was milk and juice, of course. And there's some kind of little thing that got a little bit of liquid in it and you could give the baby doll the bottle and it looks like it's drinking it, you know, so it empties when you turn it over. But then you know what happens when you put it, it fills right back up. That's sin in our lives. That's human nature. It's not enough just to say, okay, today I'm going to give up gossip and I get rid of the gossip. And then I go on. Guess what? There's a void there. what's going to happen? Something else is going to fill that void. So I can't just say, I've had enough of sin and I'm done with sin. No, I got to fill it up with good things. That's why Paul said to abhor that which is evil, but cling to that which is good. It's not enough to empty evil if I don't fill it back up with good. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I've got to press on. I've got to kill the things that are in my past. I've got to kill the things that are making me struggle, that are making me forget, that are making me not press on. I've got to kill those things or it's going to kill me. You know, and I think sometimes we get wrapped up in the things that we just read, for instance, in Colossians. You know, fornication, lust, violence, filthy talk, gossip, lying, drunkenness. You know, are those sins? Yeah, they are. Will they send me to hell? Yeah, they will. What about lying? We mentioned lying too. Oh yeah, Revelation 21:8. What an awful song that we taught kids. I mean, that's just, liars go to hell. Well, I mean, I guess it's true. I mean, it's true, but that's not the only thing that says. You know, it also says the cowardly, the fearful. Listen, you fit this into any place you need to fit it. And I mean this with all due respect. And I'm not talking about the people that are just saying, I can't risk the virus. I'm not saying we throw caution to the wind. Please hear me out. I'm not saying that. But I cannot let fear of earthly things paralyze me spiritually. I must make sure that I am not cowardly, that I am not fearful. And let me try to illustrate that. I don't love snakes. I don't even like them. Okay? Especially rattlesnakes. Hey, let's just make it crazy. King cobras. All right? Let's say in the front yard at Azalea City today, there is the biggest king cobra in the world, and he's hungry. And he is striking left and right. I may be cautious of that and take every approach, okay? I may not just go out there and pet it. I may not go out there and say, here, snakey, right? That's not cautious. That's dumb. But if it keeps me from ever walking outside these doors again, that's fear. If I've got a rattlesnake in my backyard, I may take all the caution with it. But if I never go out in my backyard again, that's fear. We as Christians cannot live in fear. The devil would want nothing more. Fear, that kind of fear, is a sin. We got to kill it. Finally, this morning, I got to press on to the prize. There's only one thing left to do, Paul said. Here it is again, Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Why, Paul? Number three, because I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a cool word, okay? And I'm not going to give you the Greek and all that behind it, but just if you get a chance to look it up, it's pretty neat. But it's likened to a Hebrew word that's found in passages like this. You remember in the story of 2 Samuel 2:12 through 23, we don't have time to go through all that, but there's a story in David's life. You remember David's family was really out there, okay? David was a great man, but because of all the trouble and all the sin and all the things, he had a terrible family. And then, so you had all kinds of drama, okay, between his generals and, of course, Saul's after him. And all these things are going on, crazy times in David's life. But Abner is the general of King Saul's army, okay? And King Saul's son, Ishbosheth, I'm sorry, he's King Saul's son, he's part of that, Abner is, he's part of that. He's the general there. And so with this, you know what he do? They do, they go to battle, and they lose a lot of troops. Abner leads a battle, and they lose a lot of troops to David's army, David's men here. So then you have Asahel. Okay? Asahel's the brother of David's general. You know what he does? He chased Abner. He neither turned to the right nor turned to the left. He pursued, he chased after Abner. The Bible records that Asahel refused to give up the pursuit. The word there for chase is the same, likened to the same Greek word for press on. That's where we are. We're in a war. But the war's been won. So we've got to have that type of chase. That type of press onness. To where I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm not going to turn to the left. I'm going to just keep pursuing the things which are above. And that's the prize. I love field day at Mobile Christian. I'm sure it's great at every place. But after watching my children, I've tried to help a few along the way. For instance, little Riley, who's really fast and she wins all her little races. But I would tell her, Riley, and I'm sure her daddy, who's a great runner, and mama, our grandmama and all, has already told her all these things. I'm not a great runner, but I did learn something in my observation. The kids that lose are the kids that are running like this, and they're running all over the place because they're looking back, and they're like trying to see where their buddies are. I'm ahead, and then the kids pass them. I would say, look straight at your dad or your mom and run. Because that kid always wins. That's us. If we're going to pursue, we can't look to the right. We can't look to the left. We must look to the finish line. We can't let distractions of this world make us lose focus. We can't let distractions of what the media is blasting out make us lose focus. You see, you've got a mission just like I've got a mission. Yes, my livelihood is paid by the church, but that's not why I do what I do. We have a calling to seek and save the lost. And we cannot let the distractions of this world stop us. Paul went on to say in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. He said, Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now, I've kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. At the end of the day, wherever our time is up, Paul knew that he was about to be beheaded. He knew his time was up. At this point, he'd gotten word, I'm sure. But he said, hey, Timothy, it's all good, man. Because I kept the faith. I finished the race. And he's urging Timothy to do the same. But wouldn't it be great at the end of our time, whenever that is, we all look up and we could say, hey, I finished the race. I kept the faith. Because no matter what the devil threw our way, I pressed on. I aim for the things that were above. I was able to kill sin, and it didn't kill me. And then I pressed on toward the upward prize, the heavenly prize. Today, as we close out, I usually try to end on a very positive note, and I guess I'm not going to today because I want to make the mind think negatively, and that sounds weird. But what happens if I stop? Whether I'm at home or whether I'm here, what happens if I stop? Unfortunately, people have stopped. Could you imagine knowing you're right there at the finish line? And we got distracted, we gave up on Jesus, we gave up on God, we gave up on church, we gave up because of fear, because of sin, because of whatever it was, and I just stopped running. What happens? Oh, well, you don't win. You got that right. But man, think of what you lose. You lose heaven. You lose eternity. You gain eternal damnation, eternal punishment, eternal flames, a flame that will never be quenched. Now, I know that's not real popular to preach these days. I think we call that hellfire and brimstone. But Paul said, same Paul we're talking about, we must persuade men. We must do what it takes to persuade them. And I just want you to think of where you are right now. As the race keeps going around us, have we entered the race? Are we still running? Are we still pressing on? You know, they say when you run, you hit a wall. But if you can press on through that wall, you can finish. That wall stopped me in my physical running a whole lot. But in my spiritual running, it's the same way. I got to press through that wall. Today, have you been stopped by the wall? Have you just stopped running? Have you allowed other things to keep you down, to keep you away? We got a responsibility, and we got to press on. I encourage you right now, if you accept this invitation, come as together we stand and sing.